Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. It's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife, Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to be able to come back into your homes and to your country once again, reaching the world for Christ. This is Lloyd and Betty Yearwood, just reaching the world for Christ. So our subject tonight is going to be perilous times. And so if there's ever a time that we're living in perilous times, it's today that we're now living. And I just thank God that we have got an opportunity, that we've got a place that we can worship the Lord in spirit and truth and don't have to worry about everything else. But, you know, we've got to please God. So we are living in perilous times. So hope to be able to, some of the ministers or some of us will be able to reach out there and get you to hear and understand tonight that the time that we're living in, and we're living in the last days. I believe that we're living in the time that the Lord's soon going to come back. So if you want to be a part of this service tonight, well, call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. So call in there and be a part of the service with us. And so we'll just worship the Lord in spirit and truth. So 661, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hi, Brother Lloyd. This is Sister Gladys in Moorhead, Kentucky.
Praise the Lord. Well, I want you to go ahead and go on there so they can hear you over in North Carolina on that other radio station.
Okay, I want to praise God. You know, we're not a defeated people. We may be living in perilous times, Brother, but I know that the Lord that I serve, and I know that he's not stepped off the throne. His hand is not short, and he will help us. You know, the little bit of the broadcast is cutting in and cutting out, but I'm going to still praise my God, and I'm going to preach the word of God tonight. And I want to start off in Isaiah 5, 20 through 23. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." You know, we're living in a day and hour, Brother, that people feel like they can do anything and everything they want to do. They're fighting principalities and strongholds, and when you have a stronghold in your life, you justify it, and it's contrary to the Word of God is what I'm trying to get across. And we're living today, and people just do whatever they want to do. Wickedness is running rampant, and like I had I spoke with the other night when we were on the broadcast, times are going to get worse and worse, and we already see the Christian people that are being persecuted for the name of Christ. And we need to be ready to stand for the Lord today. And there's many that want to give up and throw their hands up, but we've come too far for that. We don't need to stop now. We need to keep pressing forward and know and believe that God will take care of us. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how hard the times are for the people, God said he'd take care of his people. You know, I've never gone hungry. I've never been too sick that he couldn't take care of me. I know in whom I stand for and who I believe. In Ephesians 4, 17 through 19 says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. You know, our eyes were closed at one time, and many people living today don't understand the God that we serve. But I know this much. Once you become a believer and you ask the Lord to come into your heart, he said his spirit will draw men unto him. And I know and believe the God I serve, like I've said, I know that there's family members I've cried out for and pled the blood over, and I know that he's going to save them. His spirit is drawing them right now in this day and very hour, and I thank him for that. You know, they're ignorant to the ways of God. They want to stay closed-minded, many of them do. They're reaching for anything and everything, Brother Lloyd, and I know this much, that void that's in their heart and in their spirit and in their life today, they're trying to cover it up. They're thinking, well, if I reach out to the pills, if I reach out to the drugs, if I shoot up heroin, or if I drink a bottle of booze or smoke my dope, then maybe, just maybe, I'll be happy. But I know and believe that I know that some of the things I dabbled in, they weren't heroin and all that, and I'm not condemning people if they do. But I know this much, drug addicts don't want to be drug addicts. They do it because they don't know where else to go. But I know that God will take care of them if they just look to him. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 3, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand, that no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." You know, many people have grown cold in the Lord, and I didn't find that scripture. We were kind of in a rush, but he said, I don't want you lukewarm. I don't want you cold. I want you. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out. He wants us to be hot. He wants us to be on fire for God and preach the word of God to all nations. He said to go out into the highways and into the byways and let people know that Jesus is soon coming. And we need to be ready. In Revelation 3, 14 through 20, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith thee, Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." I'm not going to finish out the rest of those scriptures, but that was the scripture I was speaking of. But on down in verse 19, he says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." You know, if we cry out to the Lord, he will save us. He will forgive us of all of our past sins. He'll wipe us white as snow. He will just completely block out those sins. He will forgive us. Jesus paid the price on the cross for us. And he paid a debt he didn't owe, and we owed a debt too high that we could not pay.
Amen.
He said in Isaiah 5:20-23, he said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." I hope I haven't read that scripture. Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I printed off too many scriptures, and we were in a rush. Our computers not been working, but you know what? I know that God is here to help us each and every day. Some people
Amen.
Will say, well, I can't live it. I can't be perfect. The Lord never said we had to be perfect. We can only be perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have him in our heart, we know that we can be set free from this world, and we can go forward and know that we can be witnesses in dark places. I've preached that before. You know, many people don't want to reach out to those that are dying and lost and undone, and they don't know what to do, that if we as Christians can walk uprightly, live it, don't just talk it, live it. Do what the Bible says to do. That's our roadmap. You know, when people say, well, life didn't come with instructions, it surely did. The Bible I read daily tells me how to live upright before this world that we live in. I'm just going to read a few more scriptures. In Romans 1, 29 through 31, said, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, and maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Live in a day and hour, brother Yearwood, that people don't care what they do to other people.
Amen.
They lash out with their tongues. And, you know, people are sitting on the pews today thinking that, well, God is only concerned about the murderers and the thieves and the liars, but he's also concerned about the backbiters, the gossipers, those that whisper behind their brothers and sisters' back. You know, they're killing people each and every day. You know, you can pay tithes from daylight till dark. You can come sit on those pews every service they have in a church house, but that's not going to take you to heaven. If you lash out and gossip about your brothers and sister, you won't be leaving this world when the rapture takes place.
Amen.
When the rapture takes place. Forgive me for stumbling upon my words. The last few scriptures I'm going to read is this. Colossians 3, 5 through 6. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And the last one is 1 Peter 5 and 7. When all these cares come upon this world, and we're in the middle of them today, you know, it grieves our heart to know that Christians are dying and that they're killing them, they're beheading them, they're killing these babies that are too innocent to know what's going on in this world. He says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. You know, Jesus, when he died on that cross, he bore our burdens and our sicknesses and anything and everything we go through. He cares about it. It doesn't matter if it's a financial problem. It doesn't matter if your child's ill with a fever. He cares. He truly cares for you. And he's waiting there for you to call upon his name and say, Lord, save me. I don't know my right hand from the left. You know, I thank God and praise him today because my son's mother-in-law just came in. She may be Catholic, but it's like our pastor told him, don't worry about knowing everything. Just come and pray. Come and be in the house of God. You know, many people get tripped up by many things, but they have to understand God made all kinds of commandments and wanted us to do many things. He said, assemble yourselves together. Many people think that they can lay in the house and say, well, I can serve my God at home. Well, you know, it's like I've told my son before, if you want the strength from your brothers and sisters, go to the house of God. They'll pray for you. They'll see you through. When more than, you know, when one or more gathered in his name, he said he'd be in the midst. You know, it doesn't mean you're weak when you call upon a brother or sister and say, pray for me. You know, my husband went to the doctor today, but, you know, I'm not going to believe the report of the doctor. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. You know, there was something spoken to me recently, but I consider a diagnosis. Yes, they say I may have to have surgery, but by the name of Jesus, I won't have to have that. I plead the blood over my body, and I know and believe that the brothers and sisters standing in prayer with me today will believe the same God I serve. He paid a price for my healings, and I'm going to believe daily that he's going to heal my body. And the infirmity that may be there may be there today won't be there when they check it again. Brother Lloyd, I'm going to turn it back over to you, and I thank you for inviting me onto your program. I praise God for all the souls that are being saved and set free and delivered by this broadcast. I thank God that the gospel is reaching the many nations who may never set foot upon the African soil, who may never set foot in Pakistan. So I praise God that this broadcast will reach far and wide. I'll turn it back over to you, Brother Rehoboth.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful word there, Sister Gladys. We're just thankful that we do have an opportunity just to lift up the name of Jesus and reach the world for Christ and go into all them countries. Like you said there, we may never put our feet on their soil, but one thing for sure, we can send the power of the Holy Ghost, the Word. We can send that anointing out across the land, and it will touch the people that we can't touch ourselves, but the anointing of God will touch them. I believe that with all of my heart.
Yes, I do, too.
423, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood. This is Brother Eddie Bolton from Jacksboro, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Just go ahead there, brother, and obey the Lord.
I'd like to say that I thank God for the way that Sister Gladys is talking tonight. She sounds like the Lord has moved in her behalf, and I thank God for that. And I thank God today that we serve a God that knows just what we stand in need of, and He will strengthen us, and He will help us. And I know just back some time ago, about not hardly a year ago, I suffered a problem, and it stayed with me for months. But then one day God sent a man and his wife here and prayed for me, and God began to move in my behalf. And I thank everybody for what for their prayers that went up for me. And we're preaching tonight out of perilous times, from out of the third chapter of 2 Timothy, and starting in verse 1. I'm going to read down through here a little bit, and I'm going to just obey the Lord as we go. And brother, I want to thank God that no matter if it's good times or if it's bad times, that God is still God. And it's like this song says, he always will be God. And He was God in the beginning, and He'll be God in the ending. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Brother, He said, there is no God beside me. I know not any. Brother, God is God, and He's the only one. We're told by a lot of people, and there's signs up on the road, go down and get your fortune told. Brother, I don't have to have my fortune told. All I have to do is open the pages of God's holy word, brother, and I see what my future has in store for me. Brother, it said this, know also that in the last days, perilous times or difficult times shall come. Brother, I know that when Paul, the writer of this epistle, brother, he went to jail for being a Christian, for going out and preaching the gospel. Brother, he went to jail. He wrote several letters from jail. Brother, and it was difficult in those times, brother, when he was in jail. But I believe that Paul, brother, he took it all in stride. And brother, he went about writing the letters to begin to teach the church how that they should live, and to tell us the things that are coming. He said, in the last days, perilous times, they shall come. He didn't say they might come. He didn't say they could come. He said they shall come. And brother, it looks like today that we live in, that the perilous times are here. Oh, but they're going to get worse and worse. Brother, let me tell you today, they're not going to stay the same. Brother, the thing about change is, it's going to change. Brother, the thing about time is, it's going to bring a change. And men are going to wax worse and worse. But I thank God today that God changes not, and that the love of God that's in the heart of His people, it remains constant, and it grows. It just gets more and more, but it's still the love of God. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And brother, I'll tell you today, that people think more about their yourself than to do anybody else. He said to be covetous. Brother, I'll tell you, the Bible said, he said, thou shalt not covet. Brother, and I'll tell you, people today are coveting things that other people has. Brother, he said, boasters. He said, proud. Blasphemers. Somebody might say, what is blasphemy? It's speaking evil of things. Brother, and I'll tell you tonight, when you begin to speak evil of your brother, brother, you're judging your brother tonight. And the Bible said to judge not, lest you be also judged. It said disobedient to parents. I've never in my life seen a time, brother, that people are disobedient to the parents of the young generation. Our brother is coming up. Our brother, if they decide to do something, it don't matter what mother and daddy said. Our brother, they do what they want to about it. It's like saying, I'll do what I want to do. I'll do it when I want to do it. I'll do it as often as I want to. And nobody's going to stop me. But let me tell you what. The Bible says to bring up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Brother, I want you to know today that God has given instruction to parents, brothers, to how to bring their children up. It said they'd be unthankful. He said they'd be unholy. Brother, I want you to know today that people don't like to hear the word holiness today. But holiness is not in, brother, to close you out. But holiness today is in your heart. Brother, if your heart is holy, you will live holy today. Brother, I want you to know tonight, brother, when you begin to speak, brother, you can tell what's in your heart because it'll come out. He said people would be without natural affection. I want you to know today that mothers are killing their babies today. Brother, the most dangerous place, I've heard it said, like this, that the most dangerous place for a baby to be today is in the womb of its mother because of abortion. The multitudes and the thousands and the tens of thousands and the hundreds of thousands and even the millions of babies today that are being aborted. Any natural affection would stop that today. But he said they'd be without natural affection. He said they'd be truth breakers. Brother, I'll tell you today, they'll make a covenant with you. And if they decide that it's better to go another way, they'll break that truth with you. They'll break that covenant with you because they won't like it anymore. He said false accusers. Listen to me today. Brother, when they had Jesus up there, they brought past false accusations against him. But let me tell you today, for a child of God, brother, for that person who's right with God tonight, brother, they won't be pointing a finger at you and accusing you of something that you're not guilty of. He said they'd be incontinent. Brother, they would have no self-control. Brother, he said they'd be fierce and despisers of those that are good. Brother, they people today, brother, they just assume to shoot you as to look at you. They just assume to accuse you of something as not. They just assume tell a lie on you as to tell the truth on you. Oh, let me tell you tonight, he said they'd be traitors, they'd be heady, they'd be high-minded, they'd be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Brother, when it comes time to go to the house of God, our brother, people have got something better to do. They want to do something else rather than to go out to the house of God. I know here in the United States, God made this nation great. He used people to do it well, but he made it the nation that it is today. But brother, people have turned their back on God, and they gone after the things of the world. They gone after the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And they're after money, they're after material possession. But let me tell you today, brother, it's better to have the love of God in your heart and in your life than it is to have all the gold in the world. You might be able to take the gold, and you might be able to buy you some things, but brother, it'll not take you to heaven. It'll not get you right with God. But brother, if you've got the love of God in your heart tonight, brother, it'll take you to heaven. It'll take you. It'll cause you to walk a righteous life. The Bible says, Paul wrote in one place, and he said it like this. He said, the love of God, it constraineth us. And brother, it causes us to walk in an upright way. It causes us to lift our hands and to say, praise the Lord. It causes us to lift our hands and to lift our voice and say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you today, brother, in the Middle East today, brother, they're killing Christians today and thinking they're doing God a service. But Jesus said that time would come. And brother, it's perilous times today. They're doing that today. Brother, it's dangerous today. Brother, it said having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such time away. You see, God don't have to help nobody to fight his battles. God is big enough today, brother, to bring his will about, and God can fight his own battles. Brother, I want you to know, if you're not living for God, brother, you need to turn from living your life your own way, and you need to start living for Jesus. You need to give your heart unto the Lord and ask God to save you, and he'll save you. Brother, he'll make you the love of God. Like I said a minute ago, it'll constrain you to love people. The Bible says, how do we know you pass from life unto death, I mean from death unto life? He said, because we love the brethren. Brother, the love of God, being born again tonight, brother, will cause you to go out and to hug the necks of the people that hate you. Brother, I want you to know, it won't cause you to pick up a rifle and shoot somebody if they cause you, or if they don't believe the way that they do. But brother, I want you to know today, brother, when the love of God begins to show forth, brother, people can't resist the love of God that passes all understanding. He said in Matthew, the 24th chapter, beginning in verse 36, he said, but of that hour, or of that day, and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angel of heaven, but my Father only. He goes on and says in verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He said, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. I mean, God told Noah one day, he said, the end of all flesh is come before me. He said, the days of man will be 120 years. I believe Peter said that Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness. Brother, I want you to know today that the people on this broadcast that are preaching to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, honey, they are preachers of righteousness. And brother, I want you to know tonight that if you give heed to the word of God that's being preached unto you, brother, it'll bring life to believe. Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, if you'd asked me, I would have given you living water that you'd have never thirsted again. Brother, when God comes into your heart through the Lord Jesus Christ, brother, you're satisfied. He said in the book of Matthew in another place, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, he shall be saved. He shall be filled. I'm sorry. Brother, I want you to know today that God wants to fill you up, brother, and satisfy you today. It's just like when your body gets hungry, when your stomach gets empty, brother, and you get hungry, and you've got to go find you something to eat. Brother, it's the same way of spirit. Brother, when your spirit gets hungry, brother, you begin to seek something, brother, to fill it up. And the sister Gladys said a while ago, some people take pills, some people shoot up, hard drugs, addictive drugs, drugs that are so addictive that they can't get off of them, it don't seem like, and pills so strong, it seems like they can't get over them, get away from them, but yet, that hunger is still there, that thirst is still there. Brother, I want you to know today that if you would begin to turn to the Lord tonight, brother, God, he would hear you. Brother, he'll see you. He'll know what you're doing. And if you'll begin to call on the name of the Lord and tell him that you want some help, brother, he'll send forth his spirit and he'll begin to give you the help that you need. Because he said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Brother, he said, behold, I stand at the door knock. If any man will hear me and open up, he said, I'll come in and sup with him and him with me. Jesus tonight is the thing that fills you up. Jesus is that food tonight. Brother, that satisfies that hunger that you've got. It'll satisfy that thirst that you've got. Brother, it'll cause you to be able to go forward, brother, and live for God. There's a lot of people said they can't live for God. But, brother, I'm telling you tonight that God will help you. He'll send his spirit, brother, to help you that you can go on and live a Christian life. Paul wrote in one place, he said it like this. He said, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that is in me. Brother, it's Christ that is in the child of God today that causes them to overcome the obstacles when they come. It's Christ in them. Brother, when the trials come, that causes them to surmount them trials and to go on and live a Christian life tonight. Brother, I believe tonight God is speaking to your heart tonight, and all you have to do is answer that call. He said, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, mining and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Honey, they wasn't worried about things coming to an end. Noah had been preaching to them for probably 100 years, but they didn't believe it because they were going about their everyday walk. And here this old man going about building a boat that they had never seen a need for a boat, but Noah was building it, him and his three sons, and I don't know how many more, but they were building that boat, and Noah was preaching to these people, and they didn't believe it, and they went about their business. But let me tell you today, when Noah went into the ark, and God told him to come on in, brother, he went in there, and the Bible said, brother, that God shut the door, and after that it was shut. Brother, the Bible said that the rain began to come down. Brother, and then they begin to remember, no doubt, what Noah said about the Lord or that the end was coming. Brother, they wanted in that ark, brother, but they couldn't get in because they had rejected God. And brother, God, he shut the door on them. The door of mercy had been shut off to them because they had waited too late. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there is an ark of safety tonight, and that ark is Jesus Christ. Brother, and it's not too late for you to get into that ark tonight. Because Jesus, the Spirit of God tonight, he's beckoning at your heart. He's calling you to come. He's calling for you to come in to this ark of safety. Brother, it said, and you not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Brother, they're going to be drinking, and they're going to be marrying, they're going to be giving in marriage, brother, until the Lord comes. But brother, I'm here to tell you tonight, brother, if you miss the Lord, you're going to miss everything. Brother, it'll be too late if you miss the Lord. Brother, I'm here to tell you tonight that God is calling you tonight. Brother, it might be perilous times tonight, and it is. But brother, even though the times may be perilous, brother, Jesus is still knocking. He's still calling. He's still beckoning for you to come. Brother, and he's going to beckon until the day that he comes. Oh, but don't put it off, because the Bible said it's appointed once the man to die, and after this the judgment. You see, you might live. The Lord might come back after you die out of this life. But brother, the time will come. If you die before the Lord comes, brother, you'll stand before God. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ tonight, you'll give an account for that, and you'll go in to the very fires of hell itself. Oh, listen to me tonight. Brother, there's somebody needing to call on the Lord. There's somebody tonight, brother, that needs to get saved tonight. And all you've got to do is call on the Lord. He'll hear you. He said, call on him while he's near. Call on him while he may be found. He said, dear, he said, and you not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Brother, he's calling tonight. Brother, they turned a deep fear to him. But brother, I want you to know, the Bible said, he that's often reproved, he stiffened his neck, he shall be cut off suddenly, and that without remedy. Brother, God's a calling to you tonight. He's wanting you to come tonight. He's wanting you to turn to him. And brother, if you'll turn to him tonight, brother, he'll hear you. He'll bring you into the fold of God. He'll bring you into the body of Christ. He'll make you a new creation. Brother, he's calling you. Brother, these people before the flood, brother, no doubt they believed that they had plenty of time, but they were wicked. Wickedness of man, his mind, his thoughts were only on evil continually. Brother, you can look around you today, brother, and you can see that all people's got on their mind, brother, is wickedness, is material things. But let me tell you today, brother, the time will come when the people will stand and wish that they had turned to God. I'll tell you tonight, you might say, brother, you don't have no right judging me. Brother, I'm not judging you tonight. I'm trying to tell you what the Word of God declares to you. Brother, I'm there's one. They told that to Jesus. He said, there's one that judge you. Though I believe he said the word that I speak, it'll judge you. Brother, tonight, God is calling you to that. Brother, I want you to know that in the times of old, brother, he goes on and said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Brother, I want you to know, if God's calling you tonight, brother, you are finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Bible said that by grace, through faith, we are saved. And brother, I want you to know tonight, brother, it's no good works that you or I can do to be saved. But brother, it's by the grace of God, and that's by God's unmerited favor. It's something that we didn't deserve, but something God bestowed upon us, brother, that because we believed on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, God, if you will call on him, he will hear you, he will answer you. And brother, he'll make you a child of God tonight. Praise the Lord. Give heed to mine. When you feel that knocking at your heart's door, open that heart up. Let Jesus come in tonight. Brother, he'll make a new creation out of you. He'll give you that peace you're looking for. He'll feel that hunger that you're hungry for. He'll feel that thirst that you're thirsty for. Brother, I want you to know today, he said in verse 5, the 6th chapter of Genesis, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I don't know how they do where you're at, but brother, I know here, brother, it's hard to get around people without them cursing and using the Lord's name. But let me tell you today, brother, when God saves him, he'll take that away from you. He'll put grace in your mouth. He'll clean your speech up. He'll clean your eyes up. He'll clean your thought patterns up. He'll make you a child of God. Oh, let me tell you today. He said, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Brother, God's calling tonight. God's wanting you to come and call on his name to be saved tonight. I thank God that he remembered me. I thank God that he come to me and that I answered that call. Brother, you would, I'm going to turn it back to you, brother. I appreciate you having me on here tonight. I appreciate the Spirit of God that we feel tonight. I thank God for each one that's listening. God bless you, brother. You would go ahead, my brother.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother Eddie. Appreciate the wonderful words already been brought forth there. I'm going to have Tim to sing a song there, but first I want to get 770-584 on and tell us who you are and where you're at there, brother, or whoever.
Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Okay, Brother John, we're going to have Tim to sing a song there, then we'll get you to obey the Lord there.
I'll tell you what, go ahead and let him, and if there's somebody else, because I'm getting ready to travel. It'll just take me a few minutes to get home, but I was ready, but I'm getting ready get on the road here for just a couple minutes, and then I'll be able to get with you. Still going to listen. I'm still going to hold on, but I can still preach that way. But yeah, go ahead and play a song or two, and I'll be right with you.
Okay.
Bless him, Lord.
Blame it on the world we're in. We say there's nothing we can do. Instead of being a shining light, we're just doing right in our own eyes. As Christians, we're not doing our part. We're just getting you to the dark. We're getting you to the dark. We're getting you to the dark. We're not praying to change any hearts. We're just getting you to the dark. Well, sin's all around us, yet we don't think that this world is really as bad as it seems. We just close our eyes to what's going on. We're not burdened for the sinner man. Won't give our brother a helping hand. It's time we show the world a little spark instead of getting used to the dark. Getting used to the dark. Getting used to the dark. We're not praying to change any heart for just getting used to the dark. Getting used to the dark. Getting used to the dark. We're not praying to change any heart for just getting used to the dark. Getting used to the dark.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song there. So we're going to go and get another caller on here. 606, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Reverend Wayne Van Hook, Somerset, Kentucky.
Okay, just go ahead and obey the Lord there, brother.
Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and says this, also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Speaking about difficult times, grievous times, troublous, troubled times, that it's going to come in the last day. Dangerous times are going to come in the last days. You know, we're seeing things right now like we have never seen before. You know, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have even dreamed of anything, some of these things that's going on today. But times are really getting hard. But I tell you what, don't matter how hard that it gets or how troublous it gets, if our hearts are right with God, we can overcome everything that comes against us.
Amen.
Through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We can lift up holy hands and we can go on for the Lord. We can praise God. Hallelujah. And we can glorify Him, for He's worthy. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy to be lifted up tonight. Amen. Praise be to the name of the Lord God of hosts. The Bible says in the last days these things is going to happen. The perilous times is going to happen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's going to happen before the Jesus Christ splits the eastern sky up in heaven. And those who are saved and right with the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have their sins under the blood of Jesus Christ, is going to be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And forever be with the Lord in the air. If there's ever a time, praise God, that we need to go out and try to win souls, it's today. It's today. If we've ever tried to win a soul to the Lord, we need to win souls to the Lord. We need to be a light. There's not much time left. Brothers and sisters, everybody in the world, I want to tell you, there's not much time left before Jesus Christ will come back to take His people out of here. Those, praise God, who are washed, their sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Sin will not go in the kingdom of God. God, praise God, will not take sin into His kingdom. Our sins must be totally washed away by the blood and Savior Jesus Christ. But you know, I say this to you out there tonight. If you're not saved, be a good time to ask Jesus in your heart. If you're a backslider, be a good time to ask Jesus back into your life, for it's eternally, everlasting, too late. If you're not where you need to be with God, it's time to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Repent and turn from your sins. We are living in difficult times. But you know what? As children of God, we can hold on to his hand. Amen. We can hold on to the hand of the Lord. Amen. And Jesus Christ, God the Father, will help us, praise God, through. Amen. And we can glorify him. Praise God. Amen. It's wonderful to know that regardless of how hard the time gets, that we have the joy of the Lord in our heart, that we have love for everybody. Amen. We can have love for everybody in this difficult, perilous times that we're living in, this day and time. I want to say it loud, plain, and clear, that I love everybody in the world in Christ. I don't care if they're red, yellow, black, and white, or brown. They're all the same to me. They're all the same to God. God loves everybody the same. There's no big I's and no little U's. If you're in the United States, or if you're overseas, or wherever you're at overseas or in the United States, Jesus loves you. God sent his son. Amen. Even though we are living in perilous times, it's time to give everything over to the Lord and tell Jesus to take your life tonight. And he will, praise God. We are living in perilous times. You know, I want to say tonight that Jesus loves you. Why don't you ask him in your heart? Of course you have to mean it, or ask him to come back in your heart and ask him to forgive you of all your sins, you know. Praise be to the name of the Lord. I want to thank you, Brother Yearwood, all you fine folks, and the help of the Lord, all the good work that you all are doing, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, my brother.
Okay, appreciate that, brother. Appreciate you coming on there and obeying the Lord. So, 770, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
This is Robin Gresham in Thomaston, Georgia.
Okay, Sister Robin, go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Well, I've never seen a time that's coming to pass as we live in these days right now where you see the living, breathing Word of God that's coming to pass right before your eyes. And I started off in Matthew 24, verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." The one thing that really bothered me about this is the great falling away. There are people that do not want to believe the Word of God. There are people that do not want to serve the Lord. There are people that don't even want to hear the Word of God. And I'm going to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And then I went to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And then I went to 2 Peter, and in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust." Men care about nowadays, and the day in which we live in, is mainly about the bank account and what's in the bank account. They don't seem to care about the neighbors. They don't seem to care about their family. They don't seem to care about the children. There are people out here right now that will tell you, you can ask them if they know the Lord, and they'll tell you, "Well, I go to church." And by them saying that, they're using that as a badge of honor. They don't even know the Lord. They don't want to know the Lord. There are people that has turned their backs completely on the Lord. And I just want to tell you right now that the Lord loves you. And then I went to 1 John chapter 4 in verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. Even now already is it in the word. You are of God, little children. You have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. We need to understand right now, everything that we're seeing right now, the wars, the rumors of wars, the famines, the pestilences, then the spirit of Antichrist is in the world. Think about these people out here that don't know the Lord. They don't want to know the Lord. They've turned their back on God. They couldn't care less about anything about the word of God. But I'm going to tell you what in Isaiah chapter 45 says, starting with verse 22, the Lord says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. There is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. We live in a day right now. This is the time, the present time in which we're in right now, where we need to call upon the name of the Lord. We need to ask the Lord to come into our hearts. Lord loves you. He said he'd never leave you, he'd never forsake you. And this is the day we need to call upon him that we could be saved. And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Brother Yearwood. Thank you so much.
Lord, appreciate that wonderful word there, sister. Brother John, have you got where you can minister yet?
Give me about a minute or two, brother.
Okay, I'll go ahead and get him to sing another song then, and that time maybe you'll be where you can go ahead.
Yeah, I should be.
I've tasted many waters, I've sailed a lot of seas, searching for one that could bring lasting peace. Those worldly new ways only brought a bit of land, but I found what I needed when I saw the blend. I'll take the old stream that flows from the mountain, sweet Calvary fountain that makes sinners clean. Try to taste the Hitchman faithful, never failing to redeem. You can have the new rivers, I'll take the old stream. Today's modern thinkers do not want to hear about the semblance of our Savior so dear. Their flow's been denied in their teachings today, but I'm not ashamed to say it, the blood's the only way. I'll take the old stream that flows from the mountain, sweet Calvary fountain that makes sinners clean. Try to test it's been faithful, never failing to redeem. You can have the new rivers, I'll take the old stream. Try to test it, it's been faithful, never failing to redeem. You can have the new rivers, I'll take the old stream.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song there. Just praising God for this service here tonight. we are living in perilous times, and I tell you what, perilous times is here, and this is stuff that I was thinking whenever I was meditating on this year. This was stuff that I've heard since I was a kid that was going to be a happening. And, you know, we've all heard it since we were kids that this stuff is going to happen. But now we're living, actually, right today, and we're seeing it happen right before our eyes. And we can't deny it because it is happening. We done see it. We see it all over the news, all over the internet, everything else. So, you know, we're living, oh, hallelujah, glory to God, in such of a time that's never been and never be again of what we're living right now. So I just praise God, like someone said there a while ago, you know, that if we'll just keep our faith and trust in the Lord, we can make it through all of the problems. So we don't have to look at the circumstances. Just keep our eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
He'll take care of us. So, Brother John, have you got where you can speak yet?
Yeah, brother, I'm ready. I could have spoke while ago. I was just out on the road, and I just, I preached going down the road before, and I could do it then, but I thought it might be easier, especially since you have some other speakers to go ahead and let them speak. I mean, I could do it easily. I've done it hundreds of times and could have done it, but that's all right. I just didn't want to go down the road in perilous times. Hallelujah.
Yeah, we didn't need
praise the Lord. Go ahead.
We didn't need to hear of a loud crash and not hear you no more. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and obey the Lord there, Brother John.
I appreciate the opportunity to praise the Lord for, you know, God has been pouring out his spirit within us. Praise the Lord. You know, we are talking about, and as the different ministers have spoken about, and out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." There's something that he wants to know. He wanted Timothy to know, but this, what he said was, he's saying to us all, he said, "Know this also." In other words, this was the thing he had already spoken into his life. Amen. This was the second letter that he had written to Timothy, his son in the faith. And he said, "This is one. Now, this was the mark of the latter days. This was the better." You have to understand something. What also that he was saying? He said, "No, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." In other words, he was not only talking about in the final days and the last days of man themselves, but in the last days and the final days of individuals, that there would come to times of perilous times. And as the different speakers have spoken about how the word perilous means difficult or dangerous or violent or one of the things that the root word, amen, in the original writings that he was speaking about, it means to be loosened or lowered down. In other words, it was a time of reducing the strength, because what he would do is it was actually a releasing from God, a releasing from the stability, a releasing and loosening down, and even going down into this dangerous place, in this difficult place, into this hard place. But not only was that, the original root word there means to come into a void, or to come into an impassable interval. In other words, a vacancy or a void. In other words, it's a place where you can't go from one side to another. It's actually like coming into a pit that has no bottom. And what it was is that being lowered down by a rope. And so what you're doing is you're coming down into this dangerous time. You're coming down, amen, in the final days. Not only in the final days of man, but in the final days of your individual life. And what has happened is you've come into a void. You've come into a place that there's no place to go. There's no place to cross. There's a width, amen, that you can't reach over. There's a breadth, and there's a depth, and there's a height that you can't get yourself out of, and you've come to a place, and you've done released yourself, amen, from it's just like the ship that was released there, amen. They had committed themselves, and men, amen, the last days, men and women have committed themselves in this time, a place of danger, this void, this this gap, this gulf, amen, as even as the gulf that was fixed between, amen, the rich man and Lazarus, amen, that there's no way to reach God, that it's seemingly impossible. I'm glad tonight that the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, amen, verse 35 through 39, that neither height nor depth nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, neither life nor death shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But what has happened is men have brought themselves into a place of danger. Men have brought themselves into a bottomless pit. And we know that Satan is Abaddon, Apollyon. He has the key to this bottomless pit. And men and women have fallen into the trap of the devil. You know, the Bible says going on there and the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me, amen, to go up a little higher. But I'm going to give you some scriptures there just in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. In other words, the servant of the Lord must not war, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, amen. In other words, the servants of the Lord have the aptitude, amen, to teach others how to live, amen, as the Spirit of the Lord is within them. We need to know tonight, amen, that the Bible says that the anointing, amen, it will lead and guide you into all truth, and it is no lie, and it is true. You need to know that you need not that man teach you, but that the Spirit teach you, as the Spirit of the Lord is in man, as the Scripture teaches in John chapter 14, that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, amen, the Comforter that abides within us will teach us all things and bring back remembrance all things that he said unto you. And so the Bible says here that in meekness, in other words, and in gentleness, these are the fruits of the Spirit. Where the Bible says you will know them in Matthew by their fruits. When gentleness comes forth, when meekness comes forth, goodness comes forth, when these things come forth, love and long-suffering, and this is what it speaks about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, 23, these are the fruits of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He said, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. In other words, here's what's happened. They've gone in opposition against themselves. They've gone in opposition against the Creator. They've gone in opposition. They've set themselves, as Goliath set himself, against the army of God. There are men, amen, and women that have opposed themselves, have set themselves in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his love, to his mercy and to his grace, amen, to his salvation plan, amen. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost, but they've brought themselves, amen, they've went away from the Lord Jesus Christ, they went away from God the Father, they went, amen, even like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. He had asked for his inheritance, and amen. And after he had gotten his inheritance, not many days hence, he went, amen, amen, in the world, and spent his inheritance on riotous living, on perilous times. He had come, amen, and he brought himself to a place. He had lowered himself to a place, amen, hallelujah, where there was no bottom in his world. There was no sides in his world. He had come into a gap. He had come into a void. He had come into a vacancy that he couldn't see the other side. He couldn't see the bottom from the top. And church, there are those of you underneath the sound of my voice that have lowered yourselves into a, you know, to a perilous situation, a time of danger, a time of affliction, a time, amen, a hard time. You brought yourself to a place. In fact, the root word there is the same word when the man of Gadarenes, that man who was filled with spirits, amen, in Mark chapter 8, talks about that he had lowered himself, amen. He had come, and the Bible says, he said, in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself, if God prevents you. In other words, lest he will give them repentance, a place to turn around to the acknowledging of the truth. In other words, peradventure. In other words, God might give you a chance, an opportunity, a turnaround place. Amen. A turning place, a U-turn that you can come back to that God that you've opposed yourself. That time come back to that God where you've lowered yourself, where you've set the stakes. Amen. The Bible says, if you remember in Acts chapter 27, amen, how the men, amen, the Apostle Paul was on board, the centurions were on board. They were coming, amen, and they were sailing. And the Bible says it must needs that he was that he would go to Caesar, that he would appear before Caesar. Amen. Hallelujah. And here the Apostle Paul was come. Amen. As they set sail there by Crete. Amen. The winds were in opposition to them. It blew where they could no longer go any farther. And they come into what the Scripture says, fair haven. It was a harbor. Amen. A place of harbor, a place of rest. Amen. But as they came into that harbor, amen, as they came into that harbor, amen, amen, as they lowered their anchors, you need to know tonight that Jesus Christ is the anchor of your soul. Amen. He's the one that causes you to be steadfast in the troubled water, steadfast in the storms, amen, of life. Steadfast, amen. When the wind begin to blow and the waves begin to beat vehemently, you need to know that there's a manner of man. What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the seas obey him. Lord, we need to know tonight when Jesus Christ is on board. But what has happened is, those of you who have gotten off the gospel ship, those of you who have went overboard and stepped off and lowered yourselves and the perilous things in life in the latter days of your life, because with these latter days, you've walked away from life. You've walked away from the tree of life. You've walked away from the rivers of life. You've walked away from the fountains of life. Amen. And you've chosen death, chosen to come into a perilous time in your own life. But you need to know the Bible says, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves. God's giving you an opportunity, a time of repentance, peradventure, to turn around, that you may recover yourself out of the snare of the devil. You need to know tonight, the devil has laid a trap for you tonight, church. The devil has laid a trap for you. The thief that has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He said that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. The devil has laid snares, traps to entrap you, who are taken captive by him at his will. There are those of you tonight, at least sound of my voice, that have been taken captive. You're prisoners of war. Amen. Unto the Satan, unto the serpent. You've been captive at his will. It's been his desire to capture. But you know what? He doesn't take you alive, church. He doesn't take you alive. He's come to take your soul. He's come to take your very life. But I want you to know something. The Bible says, over in Mark chapter 2, remember what I said, perilous means to be lowered down, amen, and the Bible says in Mark chapter 2, beginning verse 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have to remember, amen, in Capernaum, the Bible says Capernaum, amen, sin and perilous times reached into the in the heaven. It had exalted itself at this time. But the Bible says if the works had been done in Capernaum, the works that had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah had been done in Capernaum. Amen. Sodom and Gomorrah would have remained to this day. You have to understand that Capernaum, amen, had exalted itself and brought itself into a dangerous situation. We get a pride, amen, that knows the feeling that we are bulletproof, 10 feet tall and bulletproof, just like Goliath did. He wasn't quite 10 feet tall, amen, and he wasn't bulletproof either, but they didn't need a bulletproof. All they needed is one stone from a shepherd who come in the name of the Lord. You need to know tonight that, and he said, after some days, after what days? The days of perilous times, and it was noise that he was in the house. Church, you need to know tonight, I'm telling you that it's noise, that Jesus is in the house. Oh, Jesus is in your house. Amen. You need to know that he's come on board and he's entered in again. Amen. After some days, he's come back. And the Bible says, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him. Amen. You know what? That was just like when he was born. Amen. And he come into Bethlehem. There was no room for him in the inn. So he had to go to a manger. He had to go to a manger out in a stall. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that there were so many gathered together, there was no room for Jesus. You need to know tonight, church, we need to be careful, because we've got this place Jesus out of our life. We've done displaced Jesus out of our worship. We've done
displaced Jesus out of our praise. We done displaced Jesus. We done rejected him. Oh, we didn't reject him. We still gathered together. Yeah, but these people were gathered together. Amen. That there was no room for Jesus. There was no room for him in their heart. There was no room for him in their house. Amen. There is no room. Amen. We displaced him. The first thing we want to cast away is the Jesus Christ. The first thing we want to cast away and throw away is the Holy Spirit. First thing we want to take out of our lives, amen, is our prayer and our praise and our worship. First thing we want to do is just, well, I don't need to go to church anymore. I don't need to gather together in his name anymore. We'll just gather together in somebody's name. Somebody, amen, will come, amen. There's a gathering together. And that's what the world does, what the Bible says. They gather together, and there's so much as even at, about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Verse 4, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four men, had carried a paralytic man. This man had fallen into perilous times because his palsy, his sickness, his disease had brought him into hard times, difficult times, dangerous times. He'd been lowered into a gap. He'd been lowered into an impact. He'd been lowered into a gulf by his disease and sickness. He couldn't walk anywhere. He couldn't go anywhere. Amen. He had to be carried about by other men. Amen. He had to rely on someone else to bring him to Jesus. So, hallelujah. And tonight we need to know one thing. The Bible says that when he could not come nigh, when they could not come nigh to him for the press. This was so bad. The press was so much that they were actually being carried. This was a riot. This is actually a riot. The word press in the original Greek there means a vehicle that was, they were actually riding. This was a disorderly crowd. This was a crowd that's out of order. Amen. And you know what? There are many people, amen, that have gathered themselves around what they would call Jesus in a disorderly faction. Amen. Hallelujah. And their lives are out of order. Amen. That's what he said to Hezekiah. He called to him. He told Isaiah, the prophet, to go in and say, tell him to set his house in order, for he shall die and not live. But this man, amen, had room for Jesus in his life, had room for God in his life. Amen. And even though in his situation, he might have been lowered into a perilous situation, a perilous time in his life, he was just declared that this was his last days. He was getting ready to die and not live. But when he turned, oh, he had a time to recover, to be recovered out of the air of death. Hallelujah. To be recovered out of the trap of the devil. Amen. And he come. He could have turned away, but he turned to Jesus. Oh, tonight, church, are you turning to Jesus Christ? Are you turning to the door? Amen, amen. Here was a house that was so full of people. They couldn't even, amen, come in through the door. So the Bible says as he was born that they could not come back. They uncovered the roof with where he was. Church, tonight, we might need to uncover the covering, amen, to get to Jesus. And the Bible says that when they had broken it up, when they'd broken up the roof, hallelujah, sometimes we got to break up house, church. Sometimes we got to break up where, we got to break up some things, amen, to come into where Jesus is, because it's perilous time. And the Bible says when they had broken up, amen, they let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. They let him down, amen. But, church, he wasn't let down as it was talked about in Paris. He was let down into the presence of Jesus Christ. He wasn't let down into a vacancy. There was no room, amen. You know, you go by and there's plenty of room when it says no vacancy. But, amen, he was let down in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, in his presence is the fullness of joy. Thou wilt show him the path of life, and at his right hand are pleasures evermore. He was let down in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? I want you to notice something. Church tonight, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 4, says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, I believe it is, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. When this man was lowered down before the Lord Jesus Christ, he saw their faith. You have to know something. The Bible says, I believe it's in 1 John 5:4, and this is the victory that overcometh the word, faith. overcome the world, even our faith. You have to, that which is born of God. But I want you to notice something here. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick and the palsy. These guys got together and said, you know what? They were just like their father, the devil. Wait a minute. What do you mean? These are scribes. These are Pharisees. They're just like their father, the devil. You know why? Because the first thing they said, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? They didn't know that he was God manifested in the flesh, preached unto the Gentiles, received unto heaven. They didn't know. All they wanted to do was just like their father. They wanted to accuse. The Bible says there was a war in heaven in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Talks about that Satan was the accuser of the brethren. He accused these men accused Jesus because they had fallen into the snare of the devil. They were accusers. They not only were they accusers, but the snare of the devil will cause you to become false accusers. These men were living in perilous times because they were coming against and accusing not only the Lord Jesus Christ, they were accusing the brethren night and day. Amen. But you know what? Now has come the power of his Christ. Amen. Amen. And the Lamb of God, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You see, because they overstepped the first word that he said. They overstepped the first word. Here's the word he said. This is the word they overstepped. He said, son. He said, son. You know why he called him son? Because the Bible says in John chapter 1, he came in his own, and his own received him not. The Pharisees were of his own, but they didn't receive him. The Pharisees were of his own, but they had rejected him. The Pharisees, he stood with them, amen. The Pharisees were standing in the house with Jesus, but they didn't come to him. He didn't see their faith. He saw that they had come. He saw their accusations. He saw their faults. The Bible says the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Why reason in their heart? You know why they said that what they did? Because out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What was abundance in their heart was accusation. What was in the abundance of the heart of the Pharisees and the scribes was slander. What was in the abundance of the heart was to tear down that which Jesus had built up upon. They wanted to build another foundation. They wanted to come, and there was no room for Jesus. They had fallen into perilous times. They were Pharisees. Amen. They thought everything was right. But the Bible says he came in his own received him not, in John chapter 1, verse 11. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. The accusation, now has come the power of his Christ, the power of Christ. He had power on earth to forgive sin. Not only did he have power on earth to forgive sins, but the Bible says this, to them that believe, he was given the power to become the sons of God. Whoever believed on him, you know what he said? This man was lowered down, and you know what? Not only was he in the presence of God, but he was given the power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. He said, son, he had to become the son of God. They didn't know. It's just like Satan when he came before in Job, in Job chapter 1. He said there was a day when the sons of God came before. Amen. They were gathered together. There were those people that were gathered together that were there in perilous time. But that man who was paralytic, amen, had been lowered down and became a son of God when he came into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave him power because he believed on the name of Jesus. And when he believed on his name, in one instant of time, in one time of being lowered down in the presence of the Lord, he became a son of God. And here comes Satan. Here comes the Pharisee. And what did he do? Where have you been, Satan? Coming to and fro in all the earth. Amen. The restless spirit. And the Pharisees are restless spirits. Amen. And the scribes were faces because they were coming to and fro. They couldn't stand in one place. They couldn't stand in the presence of God. And the Bible says, to that believe on his name, verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It was God's will for this man to become his son. First of all, and foremost, he was the Son of God. And the Bible says, and immediately when Jesus perceived in the Spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Why are you reasoning that I spoke blasphemy in your heart? Why are you reasoning? You know what? You know what we need to do tonight? We need to come and let us reason together. Though our sins will be as red as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. You know what these Pharisees should have been done? Lord, let me be next for you to forgive my sin. Lord, let you be next to forgive my fault. Let me be next. But it wasn't, that wasn't what they thought. The Bible says, come, let us reason together in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Though your sins were, their sins were as red as crimson. They were in a perilous pit. They were in perilous time. They were already in perilous time. It was the last days of their own life, personally. They didn't know, oh, I'm a Pharisee. No, you're in perilous times. But I'm a scribe. No, you've been lowered down. You're in the gulf right now. And you know what? You can't reach Jesus because of who you think you are. You were that rich man. Amen. And you laid out that, and this man of God, this son of God, Lazarus, called forth. Amen. Amen. And came forth. He laid outside your house, and you never let him enter in. He laid outside, and you watched as the dogs licked his sores. Hallelujah. And he come, but there was a day of reckoning. There was a day of dying and the perilous times. And you know what? Lazarus died and was laid in Abraham's bosom, but the rich man died. And he was fully committed to that pit that he had been in all his life and didn't know it. Just as Sister Gladys brought out there, the different churches in Revelation, there was one, amen, that was rich but didn't know that they was wretched and poor and miserable and had a need of the Lord. Church tonight, there's not a one of you underneath the sound of my voice that has not need of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what your circumstance. I don't care how much money you've got in the bank. I don't care how great a job you have. I don't care. You know, I'm glad and blessing the Lord, make it rich and out of no sorrow. But you need to know tonight that without Jesus, you can do nothing. You need to know that you need to be born of the will of God. That's what it said in there in First John chapter 5, that those that were born of God, amen, that their faith overcomes the world. Amen. Amen. And so the Bible says, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise and take up thy bed and walk. What was easier? What would have been easier to say? There was less words in the rise and take up thy bed and walk. But he said, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. That ye may know. What did the Apostle Paul say to Timothy? That ye may know also that in the last days there shall be perilous times. That he spoke these words, that they may know, that the Pharisee may know, that the scribe may know, that the religious leader may know, that he who thinks he's right, and take heed lest he fall, that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. But you know what? If he's got the power on earth to forgive sins, where's the line? Where's the line coming? Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Father, forgive me of my sins. Father, forgive me. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, forgive me as those who have trespassed against me. I forgive. Forgive them. Because you know what? Tonight the sin is against the Father. The sins are, what did the prodigal son say? Father, I sinned against you and against heaven. You need to know tonight. Well, bless God. You know what? The Pharisees took that this one called Jesus had sinned against them. Church, the sin's not against you. It's against the Father in heaven. But you know what? The trespass is against one another. He said, forgive us our trespasses. We've gone across the line. We've gone across the line into other men's territory, other men's things. But you know what? We can't sin against other men. We can trespass against them, but our sins are only against God only. The forgiveness must come from him. But as we forgive those who are become indebted to us, as we forgive those who are indebted against us. He said, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way unto thine house. He couldn't get into the house where Jesus was, but now he was able to walk into his own house. He couldn't get into the house where Jesus was, but a chance meeting with Jesus, could not a chance meeting. He had been lowered down. He had been lowered down into the presence of God. Church tonight, if you're going to be lowered down, be lowered down. He said, if thou take thy bed in hell, I am there. And he had come there. He was in perilous time. Here was a man that laid on a bed of affliction. But he said, go thy way. Take up thy bed. Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. But you know what the miracle is about this? You know what the miracle is with this about this? Just like in the miracle in John chapter 9, the man who was born from his birth. the greatest miracle was not that this man had to be lowered and couldn't come on his own. The greatest, and that he, after he met Jesus, he walked on his own power. It was the greatest power there, just like Brother Yearwood preached about the impotent man who laid outside the gate beautiful, that until he met Peter and John. So we go, they had none. They had nothing to give him. All that they had, if they had given him the silver and gold, he would have been in the same situation, but they had a name. He had fallen in perilous times outside the temple, outside the presence of God, outside the worship. There are those of you that have fallen in the perilous times right outside the realm of God, right outside the kingdom, right outside the city. Church, it won't be near enough. You can go right up to the gate. You can go even go up right to the door like Judas did. He kissed the door of heaven, and you won't make it on in. Even around the door, because you know what? The press is too much. The press. What is the press? Is the crowd too much? Yeah, your sins have crowded you out from the Lord Jesus Christ. Your iniquity have crowded you out. You've been alone in the house, amen. You can be alone in the house and can't get to Jesus because your sin has separated you from your living, loving God tonight. But the, you know what the greatest miracle that come from that? Is that that man not only walked away, but he... Now he was walking with Jesus. Now he was walking with Jesus. The man who was blind in John chapter 9, though he was blind, but now you see, the greatest miracle wasn't that his eyes were open, but now that he could see Jesus. Church, tonight the greatest miracle is walking with Jesus, seeing Jesus. I'm going to give you a few more scriptures out of Luke chapter 5, and then I'm going to go back to Brother Yearwood. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, beginning verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed, here's the people pressing. Now they're pressing upon him to preach the word of God. Oh, you got to preach upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, stood by the waters. That was the tree of life, standing by the rivers of water. Hallelujah. Standing by the water. He was planted just like it says in Psalm chapter 1. And he said he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. At that time that he saw all of them, they were not fishing. They, amen, the ships were standing up. They were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. So when it started out, amen, he got in the ship. Just go out a little ways. Amen. And when Jesus entered into the ship, they just went out a little way from the shore. Just close enough for them to hear the word of God. Close enough for him to preach. Amen. Because those on the shore had pressed him. And so he got into the ship. He entered in and thrust out a little. There in verse 3. And him that he would thrust out a little from land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. He sat down as a teacher. He sat down as a rabbi. Began to teach them out of the ship the word of God. Now when he had left speaking, in other words, he left. He stopped teaching. He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. In other words, there's a launching out. We've got to go out a little deeper. Church tonight, amen. Those of you that are on board the ship with Jesus Christ, it's time for you to launch out into the deep. It's time to go out into the waters that you've never been in before. It's time to go out into that depths of waters that you've never been, never walked before. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And let down your net. Your nets for a draught. Let down your fishing nets for a draught. You know what a draught is? A draught is hunting and fishing. In other words, it's such a catch. It's unbelievable. He said, launch out into the deep. Go out into the deep sea. Go out into the deep, amen. How many of you? Have you ever been deep sea fishing?
No, I've never been a deep sea fishing, but I've been fishing for a lot of people.
Okay, I'm glad. Okay, and Sister Robin, Sister Gladys, and Brother Eddie, let me ask you this, Brother Ewan. Have you ever fished with a net?
Yes, I've fished with a net.
Okay, you fished with a net, okay. And you have, Brother Eddie, have you ever fished with a net?
No.
Okay, all right. I don't know if Brother Van Hoot's still on there. I don't know if he's still on there, but I don't know if he's ever fished with a net, amen, or not. Or ever been deep sea fish.
Okay. He got done, but brother. He got out.
Okay. And the Bible says in verse 5, and Simon answering said, and Master, we have toiled all the night We have toiled in darkness and not taken anything. They have toiled all the night, amen. That's the reason why they have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I want to instill something within you. They have toiled all night long in the waters. Just a little forth from the shore. And when Jesus saw them, he had come to the place, and they had already turned up their ship, and they were already washing their nets. They had toiled all night long, and not one fish had come on board. But they said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Brothers, do you remember when you said those same words to the Lord Jesus Christ that Peter said? That you would.
Yes.
Do you remember when you said those same words that Peter just said in verse 5 there of Luke chapter 5?
Yeah.
He said,
silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Yeah, that's in Acts chapter 3, but in Luke chapter 5, verse 5, it says, they toiled all night long and take nothing, and nevertheless at thy word I will let down the net. Do you remember when you said that to the Lord?
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. And Brother Eddie?
Yeah.
You might not have been fishing with a net. I don't know if that was Sister Robert or Sister Gladys that had been fishing with a net. But have you been fishing lately with a net? Any of you? Have any of you been fishing lately with a net?
Oh.
No, I've not been fishing with a net, not naturally speaking.
Okay.
But I've been preaching the gospel with a net.
There you go. With the internet.
There you go.
At the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ, remember, Brother Yearwood, what the Lord said? And what he said to me? He said, you're going to preach the gospel into all the world?
Yeah.
Amen? And we had churches, and, you know, we got a little catch here and a little nibble here, and had Bible studies and all these things, and amen. And then he said, launch out into the deep, amen. And we, instead of thrusting, instead of being to the coastal shore, we got on board the ship. We got on the good old gospel ship. He became the captain of our salvation. We come in and remember what I brought out while ago there. But every one of you, amen, Sister Glass, and you've been fishing with a net for years. It's called the internet. He said, nevertheless, at my word, let down the net. Let down the net. And he said, the worldwide, you know, the Bible says it's called the World Wide Web, and the scripture says in Proverbs, amen, that the kings, amen, or the spiders take hold of their hands and are in king's palaces. Do you know that the World Wide Web, that the not in the natural realm now. In the natural realm, a spider can get access into any place. But in the spiritual realm, God has given us access through the net of the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the internet that we have put down. Amen, amen. At his word, and that he's spoken unto us, we have gone into all the world.
Amen.
We've lost out in the deep waters, and we've been fishing with nets. Amen. We've been fishing. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Amen. Church, I'm talking about a gospel that our net has broken. And tonight we tried to get on the internet at that point in time, and our net was broke.
Amen.
Because of the multitude. Come on, church. Somebody's going to get this in a minute. We couldn't get on because our net had been broken because of the multitudes. Amen. The crowd. Amen. They've come unto Jesus. Come on, church. And they beckon unto their partners. Amen. Which were in the other ship. You need to know something tonight. Amen. I've never seen glass in the natural. Amen. I've never seen Brother Dwayne. I don't know who else. I'll tell you what. I've seen Brother Year and Sister Year with Sister Betty, Brother Timothy. Amen. I walked from out of my church into our cars, amen. We walked out of our cars and went to a fast food restaurant. But I'm telling you something tonight, amen. Any other time, amen, we've come and we've been fishing partners. We've been fishing buddies, amen. Amen. Sister Glass, you're my fishing partner. Sister Robin, you're my fishing partner. Some of you I've known and I've been fishing with you together in the realm of the Spirit. But we've been fishing partners because we've let down. You've come from the ship. Some of you have come from the ships in Kentucky. Some of you have come from from Jacksonville, Tennessee. Some of you are coming from the ship in Jacksonville. Some of you are coming from Thomaston, Georgia, and we're coming and we're fishing partners. As we beckon in their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. Amen. And you come, and we've helped, amen, each other, and they come and fill both the ships so that they begin to sink. God is saying unto you, as you've let your net down, the ships will begin to sink. I'm telling you tonight,
hallelujah,
that there's so many people tonight that are, so many fish have been caught, that you know what? There's not a ship in this whole world. Amen. That ark, amen. Brother Eddie brought out about the ark, amen, that Noah sailed on. But I'm talking about, this is going to that time, amen, and the net has been let down. There's not one single ship in the whole world that man can make that is cast this long. He said, get ready for God. But I want to do it to the fifth.
Thank you, Lord.
If this net is so great, there's not one ship, there's not two ships, there's not a luxury ship that can hold the catch that God has gave us tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And when Simon Peter saw it, he said, in both the ship, that they begin to sink. Oh, church, tonight, I'm talking about a gospel that'll cause your ship to go into the deep. I'm talking
Amen.
About a ship. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a gospel that the multitudes will cause there to be so many men and women on this ship that you can't keep them afloat. Amen. But you know what it does? It sets you down unto the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think you're on a sinking ship, amen, hallelujah. When you think you come into the deep, when you come in, God says, for he is astonishing all that were with him as a daughter of the fishes, which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, Simon, fear not. He was astonished. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. You need to know tonight, you need to know tonight that the Lord has come. And we're going back to the Father's house. After this fishing trip that we're on, we're going back to the Father's house. And I'm going to see my Father's old fishing chair called the throne of God. And I'm going to see you.
Amen.
So look, we're going to look there. Amen. Because from my Father's throne, I've seen him bait his grace and throw it in unto men. Amen. I've seen him many times through his grace. I saw his lure of mercy that he put on the hook, and he lowered his mercy down. And amen, that lure of mercy, it'll reach into the heavens. But you know what is always astounding me about the Father's house? When I come there, every time when I wake up in the Father's house, every time I look and that lure of mercy, I don't know about it, but you know what? It's renewed every morning. There's a brand new
yes,
every morning. Hallelujah. He come there. Amen. You see that over there on the wall over there? That's judgment. I can't think with that. I can't put that in someone's eye. That's reserved for my elder brother Jesus. But there's one there over there. Oh, that's reserved for the Father. That's his wrath. That's his wrath. I don't want to be in the waters on the day that he casts that into the waters. I don't want to be anywhere around when my Father puts that lure in the waters. But you know what? You can escape that. Church tonight, you can escape that. You don't have to be there when the Father throws his lure of law, his hook of law in. Because you know what? You've already received his grace. You've already received his mercy. You've already received his love. You've already received his meekness. He's thrown in meekness. He's thrown in love. He's thrown in long-suffering. He's baited every kind of thing and put it in there to catch you, to bring you in. What's it going to take? What is it going to take? Are you going to oppose yourself or go the other way? Are you going to fall in that perilous time? Because all the days, are you going to oppose yourself or walk away? Because you know what? Tonight, he broke his hook. He put his own son. He put his own son's bait. He put it down in there, and he put it down in the deep. He lowered him down into a pit where man was. He lowered him down, and he put, and they begin to bite. They begin to to gnash on him with their teeth. They began to beat him, amen, and they stoned him. They whipped him, amen, they took everything. That was God's love. He baited it with his love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Here was the greatest bait that could ever be. But what did it catch? They took that bait. They took that bait. They took that lure, and they sent it to a cross, and they hung it up in the wilderness. They put that bait of the world that was given to the world to catch the world. They put the love of God on the cross. They nailed the cross. They beat it. They stoned it. They mocked it. They done everything to it. But he that looked upon it, I'm glad that in the last days, that amen, that he saw, he let down the net one more time, because that thief on the one side says, Lord, remember me when thou come into thy kingdom. Remember me when you go back. This is my saying. Remember me when after this fishing trip you go back to the Father's house. I want to see the Father. I want to see the Father's room, because you know what, church? Those of you that turn away and those of you that end up in the devil's snare, you have to understand, in the beginning, when this fishing trip began, there was a cherubim. There was a cherub, a chosen cherub, that was adorned with tabrets, diamonds, emeralds, rubies, sapphires, precious stones. When he spoke, it was as timbrels. Pride was lifted up in him. Pride was found in him. Place found no more. And you have to understand, he's put out some false words. He's put out the pride of life. He's put out the lust of the flesh. He's put out the lust of the eye. He's put out all these things. They won't catch anything. But there you will be caught into his snare, into his trap. His place is not found anymore. He used to fish with the Father. Church, I don't know about you, but this has just been a fishing trip. But when it's all over, oh, I've been toiling all the night. You, all of you, on this back, you've been toiling all night. But there's going to be a time where he's going to say, reel him in, son. Reel him
in. Amen.
And put him on the fish. Children, have you got any meat? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Children, he said, do you love me more than these? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. I'm just on a fishing trip right now. I'm on a fishing journey, but one day I'm going to go home, and I'm going to go into that harbor.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, it wasn't commodious there. The owners and the masters of the ship told the centurion, said, we need to leave here. But you know what? The Apostle Paul, the man of God, said, no, if we leave here, I'm perceiving much damage to the ship and the lives on that ship.
Yeah.
But you know what? They got there. They didn't want to stay there. Church. Some of you are on these, you're ready to get away from where God has put you in. You have to understand the winds blew, and they blew him into the harbor. They blew him in the anchor, the captain of the salvation, anchor of the soul tonight. They blew him into that place. Church, don't leave the harbor of God tonight. And I'm going to
Amen.
Say, but here's the thing. The Bible says when the wind begins to blow, they supposedly their purpose. In other words, they thought that they could go on. The man of God told him, don't go on, stay right here, right where you're at. But he was taught not to strive with him, and so they set sail. They let down the straits, and they set sail. They let themselves, and they released themselves from God. And as they released themselves from God, the Bible says there was a great Arachlodon, a southeasterly wind, southwesterly wind, excuse me, that come. And it ended up at the journey. Because the Apostle Paul was on board, hey, so the mariners were even going to take and cut the lifeboats off. And he said, except these abide in the ship, you shall not be saved. Centurion cut the ships off. Centurion believed. He got in this place. Amen. But let me say this. Now, I'll get back to Brother Yearwood. They got them into the perfect storm, the Arachlodon. They were out there on that. They were already in the harbor of God. Some of you have let down, and you brought yourself into perilous times. You're out there on the sea. You've lost yourself in the deep. But you know what? You're out without Jesus. You won't make it. You won't make it. You won't get to your destination without the Lord Jesus Christ.
So
Amen. There's a man of God on board. He said, I perceive. The damage to the ship, but not one. So not one man will lose their life. And at the end of their journey, the ship broke up. They said, so those that could swim went on the shore. and they got to the shore. Church tonight, get to the shore, because this fishing trip's going to end, and you need to be there where Jesus is. You need to get
Amen.
To the shore if you can. Whether it's swimming well or not, because this thing's going to break up. This thing's going to sink. These ships are going to go, and the only thing that's going to be left. But the thing is, he said, the Bible says that you should catch fish. You know what that word means? Catch them alive. Church, he should catch you alive. He doesn't want you dead. He wants you alive. He's on his trophy.
Amen.
You are catch. You mean everything to you, because you know what? He wants to put you in his house. He wants to put you in his house to make you alive and well, because you've fallen in the perilous time. Go ahead, brother. You're with me. I'm sorry for taking too much.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, John. Appreciate
Thank
that.
You, Lord.
Wonderful word. We got some announcements here we're going to make, and we got several prayer requests, urgent prayer requests. God knows who they all are, and so we'll just pray over them. Hey, go ahead and make those announcements.
It's good to be back on here tonight. I just praise God for everything that he's doing. We're going to be at God's House for Sinners and Saints on Sunday, August 17th at 2 p.m., 103 East 4th Avenue, Rossville, Georgia. And Sunday night, we will be in Varnell, Georgia at the Varnell Full Gospel Church at 214 Varnell Cedar Street in Varnell, Georgia. And we got many prayer requests, like he said, but we're not going to go into them. God knows who all of them are, and some of them's real urgent. So we'll just...
Go ahead.
Remember us when you pray about our house situation. Thank you.
Okay. We'll remember that. So, Brother Green... Okay, 435. Come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at there.
Hello, this is Brother Charles of Twilla, Utah. And
okay.
I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you calling in there tonight and just being a part of this with us, sir. So I tell you what, we've had a great broadcast, even though the devil tried to fight and put us on an hour late, but God done a work, and I know that he's continuing doing the work that he set forth to do. He said his word wouldn't return to him void, but it comes what he sent forth to do. And so his word has gone forth there tonight, and I know that God is doing something great there. So,
yes, amen.
Brother Green, Sister Green?
Yeah.
You've got a word or two you want to say there. We've got about 8 minutes there. Then we'll try to pray before we go off the air there.
Well, I appreciate that, Brother Yearwood. Brother Green's out in the garden. Or we're losing daylight. But, you know, we're talking about perilous times, and you know, that's what we're doing is we're laying up our treasures in heaven. I was thinking about Joseph in the time of Egypt when Pharaoh had the dream and how there would be 7 years of plentiful and there would be 7 years of famine. And, you know, right now we're in that perilous time and we're having a famine on the Word of God. You know, he told them to lay up the corn, many of the sand of the sea. He gathered the corn together in the cities. And you know, when it came to that time, the people went and bought off of Egypt, there in Goshen, I believe it was. And, you know, God is good. We're to fill up our vessels, praise God. We're like a silo, and if we take and we store up the Word of God. And, you know, in that time of need when people are going to be running to and fro, and, you know, I remember back in the, back in the early 1900s when the Great Depression came, and it was people, you know, they were jumping off buildings and committing suicide and those kind of things because the banks froze their money, the government seized everything, and you know, and they were, it was an awful time, I guess, for them back then. My grandma was in that time, and you know, all throughout her life, I remember she lived into about 75 years old. I remember her, she really conserved on everything she did. She would take milk and she would add half and half, and she would add water to it just to make more milk and things when times were good. And, you know, it teaches you, I guess, so to speak, God's going to take care of his people. We know that. And Sister Gladys, she was talking about that. And, you know, but the time is coming. We don't know what we're going to have to face before the very end is here. And but he said he will go with us even to the end of the world. Praise the Lord. And I just thank God. I appreciate him. And thank God that I can see where we need to, you know, like I said, I don't know what we're going to have to go through, but I believe we're no better than them that were walking in the wilderness, and we're no better than them in the dark ages when the Christians were persecuted and throughout that time between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They were made sport. They were thrown in a lion's den, and they were persecuted that way. And then now we read how in third world countries how the children are watching their parents be killed because they're Christian, and vice versa, the parents are watching the children be killed. And you know, we don't know if that's come to America, but we're no different. We're Christians, praise God. We're a nation that can't be found on a map, praise God. We are just pilgrims in a strange land, praise the Lord. But God is going to take care of his people, praise the Lord. And, you know, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And I just appreciate y'all, Brother Yearwood, and thank you for letting us speak.
Praise the Lord. We sure do appreciate that. Brother Charles?
Yes.
We've got about 4 minutes. Do you want to lead us in a prayer over these prayer requests that we've got here? Then we have any time left, we'll let you speak until we go off.
Sure. I'm not sure that I remember every request that
well,
you
God
mentioned.
God knows them all. We didn't call them out there tonight. We've got so many of them. We don't have enough time to call them all out there. God knows who they all are. So just go ahead and lead us there in prayer.
Okay. Father, we're so grateful for your presence here tonight. We thank you for this blessing of opportunity to discuss this topic that we've had tonight. It's been we're focusing now to the needs that have been that you know of all individuals that you know who they are and what they need, and we're just asking you to intervene in miraculous ways to for the different situations that are involved, and it'll be giving you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We got 3 minutes there, brother. Just go ahead and obey the Lord there for the next 3 minutes.
Well, I apologize that I came in a little late. My preparation, I needed to have started a little bit early on that, but while we were talking, I was listening to the different ones that talked, the Lord said, if they give you a minute, ask them if they'll let you do a song. And then they may know what you're not called to do.
Go ahead, brother. Okay.
It's kind of a testimony song, a song Dallas Home did. Okay, here we go. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? And how am I going to feel if I tell them today that I'm just not the same? I've had a change of heart. Last night I met the Lord and I found a brand new start. Will they understand that I still like them so? I still want them around, but I want them to know. I still want them around, but I want us apart. I want to keep right on, but I found a brand new star. But Lord, why should I care after what you've done for me? You loose those chains of sin and set me oh so free. That's more than all my friends have ever done before. more. That's why I want to live for you all the more. Now I know what I'll do, and I know what I'll say, and I don't care just how I feel. I'm telling them today.
Praise the Lord. God. Appreciate that wonderful song there. So,
that's a good testimony song, you know. But I sure appreciate y'all, and I'm just glad that I was able to get in and just say one more quick thing about the brother and the fishing nets and that. That could be a whole new topic because there's so many avenues the Lord uses and you know, and the different fishing equipment that we all have. So, anyway, I appreciate y'all.
Praise the Lord. Well, maybe that would be what we'll go over next week there then, the fishing nets there. So Peter did cast the nets out there so, and catch a catch. So, Brother John, all of you, we'll just go with that next week.
All right.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, God bless you. We're hollering 10 seconds, so we'll just say good night to everybody, and we'll talk to you there next week. Then maybe we'll get on there at 6 o'clock next week.
God bless everybody. Good night. May everyone of you have a good week. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.